Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
We're entering another one of those very interesting discussions that we have. Today, it's Friday, and we're not necessarily... Well, yeah, we could be discussing culture. Could be construed as a discussion on culture, more so religion, and we're discussing an entire community that makes up a part of who we are. That's the Islamic community. The month of Ramadan coming to an end, Eid to be observed tomorrow here at home, and to explain some of it, to demystify, to educate us on some of what we probably need to know. Let's welcome to our studio Maulana Riaz Shah. Nice to have you with us here this morning.
Thank you very much for allowing me to be here. It is really a wonderful opportunity. I do hope we can get through this, you know, peacefully, inshallah.
You know, when I had recommended that we have a discussion Eid.
Yeah.
The suggestion was greeted with, well, what are you going to talk about? And do we not know everything that we need to know?
Right.
And I didn't think so. I mean, yes,
we
operate within our own circles,
yes,
and what we are exposed to is what we understand.
What we understand, yeah.
Yeah, but by and large, we have a community that makes up of, is made up of so many people.
So many people, yeah.
That there's a lot to learn.
It's multicultural, it's multi-religious, it is quite a vast, you know, amount of people.
Yeah, it definitely is. But before we get into the nitty-gritty details, Maulana, let me give you the opportunity to familiarize my listeners with you. Okay. So they'll have a clearer idea of who you are and some of that, what you've been. Tell us about yourself, about your learnings and all of these things.
Well, I am from Trinidad, you know, I'm not, you know, a foreigner. I did start in my studies in Marabella at the Jamia Madinatul Ulum. That is presently, you know, it's closer to where the racetrack was a long time. Then in 1998, I went to India, and I studied for 5 years in Gujarat. And then in 2002, I went to Dewsbury, England, where I completed my studies at the Islamic Institute of Islam of Education, the Institute. And in 2004, I qualified. So I've been back in Trinidad since then. And I do sermons and lectures at various masjids. I served as imam in a few masjids as well. Presently, I lecture at the Haji Rukhnuddin Institute of Islamic Studies in Charleville. And I'm also, you know, the host of the Assalam program on 106.1, mm-hmm, Monday to Friday.
Okay, that's great. So some of our listeners might be familiar with you, for those who are of the faith and also who listen on our sister station.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting that a lot of your education and training took place in India.
Yes, 5 years.
And
yeah,
in England.
Yes, 2 years in England.
Where, when you speak of Islam and training and education, those aren't necessarily two places that come to mind.
Right. Agree,
for the obvious reason.
Yeah.
But how vibrant is the Islamic community in India, in Gujarat, of all places?
Well, yeah, it is quite vibrant. You know, some of the older madrasas, the older schools of learning, are present in Gujarat. Right, like from where I studied, you know, 7 kilometers away from there, there's this school called Dabel Madrasa. Any, you know, Maulana would tell you that, look, that is the mother of schools then.
Really?
Right, of Islamic studies.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the present-day scholars and ulama, they would have connections with either they studied there or they studied under people who studied there. So it is, you know, Gujarat has a lot of, you know, Islamic schools. There are a lot of Muslims there. And the Islamic society is quite, you know, vibrant in India.
The impression we get from international media may not necessarily be the right one. But we often hear that, we see that there's tension and these tensions boil over. But when you were there for 5 years, that's a long period of time. What was your experience?
Well, I must say it was really, really a wonderful experience, both as being a Muslim and dealing with Muslims and also dealing with non-Muslims,
mm-hmm,
all right, you know, Hindus, Christians, all sorts of things. It was really, really wonderful. I would not mind going back again,
mm-hmm,
right? And, you know, nobody, yes, there are tensions now, right? But nobody at that time would have, you know, could have interfered or hurt me then, right? You know, be it a Muslim or a non-Muslim, they would have, you know, stood up with me and protected me. It was really, really a wonderful experience, those 5 years. Yes, I think there was the Ahmedabad riots at that time. So, yes, it was a frightening time. But by and large, it was a really wonderful experience.
You know, I've spoken to persons who are involved in religion and from different faiths, and they've studied across the world. And one of the things that you hear is it's opposite to what the impression is, that there is this hate and this animosity and that people fighting one and nobody like nobody and all that kind of thing. But it's when you speak to persons who experience it,
it's a whole different story.
It is
a whole different story. I must say, like, I spent 2 years in England, right? Of all places where you would not expect for somebody to qualify as an Islamic scholar, right? And I had no bad experiences, none. Right, to say that there was a problem. I mean, yes, you know, in England they say there are the three doubles you have to worry about, weather, women, and wealth. Right. But to say experience, for a bad experience myself, no, I never had any problems.
Somebody has traveled as yourself and has educated in the faith. And I know we had to talk about Eid and we'll explain,
right,
we'll get to,
yeah,
but there
we'll
are things. Yeah. Radicalism has cast aspersions on Islam across the world.
Right.
And we have radicalism in all religions.
In all religions.
Yes. We do.
Yes.
But because of unfortunate instances, there's a microscope placed on Islam.
Right.
In your travels, in your studies and so on, was that brought up at all?
No. The issue of radicalism in Islam, right, if you look at it from an objective point of view, many ulama have explained that if you look at the beginning portion of the prophethood of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he, upon whom be peace, when he started to preach, the first 13 years in Makkah, right? Yes, they were persecuted, they were punished, there were all sorts of things happened to them. They were placed under, you know, rocks and placed out in the desert and all sorts of things. But you do not find anywhere that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad upon whom be peace, and his followers, while they were in Makkah, did they retaliate? They did not retaliate. The first battle of Islam occurred whilst, you know, the Prophet was in Medina. That is after 13 years. And the only reason that battle occurred was because the chiefs of Makkah at the time had taken the properties of the Muslims who left Makkah and went to Medina. All right? So this is why they went out to fight. But to say it was, all you hit me, I'm going to hit all you back. No, it was not a situation like that. So today, the scholars of Islam explain that this radical ideology that is taking place, it has no basis in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It has no basis. Why would I and why should I, okay, hurt somebody who is innocent? They have never, I don't know the person, never had it, as we say in Trinidad, they never tell me I black, right? So why, what right do I have to hurt that person just because, you know, I feel, you know, I mean, no, it has no basis to be, for all of this, you know, you put a bomb in a dustbin and blow it up. No, well, that is nonsense. It has no basis in Islam.
Well, I've found that when we don't understand things, we tend to fear them much quicker.
That is an Arabic statement also. A person, a human being, he fears the thing that he does not understand.
Mm-hmm. And we see that played out in many instances,
yes,
not just in religion, but in many other things
in
as well.
In many instances, yes, in many instances.
I come from a family that has exposed me to everything that there is to be exposed to,
right,
when it comes,
right,
to religion.
Okay.
I have relatives who are steeped in the Islamic faith.
Right.
I think Fazil is a imam. He's something along that. But
you know, Mr. Satish, it is a Trinidad culture.
Yes.
Right? That every family has a mix of people. We have, I have family like that. I have aunts and uncles who are Hindus. I have aunts and uncles who are Christians. I have aunts and uncles who are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it is, you know, normal in Trinidad to have a pot of pilau.
Yeah.
Right? When it comes, you know, to family and religion.
Yeah. Right? My mother passed away in 2008, but she had, she had taught me something very, very important. She was the one who loved God.
Right.
In all forms.
In all forms, right.
Because we were Hindu.
Okay.
We have family who are staunch Muslim.
Right.
We have family who are Christian. We have family who are Baptist.
Right.
It's not uncommon for my mother when we were small to take us up to Mount St. Benedict to sit with Father Bruno. And I've done all of that.
Look, my aunt, right, my grandfather passed away when my father was 14 years average.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So my grandmother, she's a Muslim. She died a Muslim, everything. My father and his two sisters, they grew up as Muslims. But every year before, you know, the September school term would start,
mm-hmm.
she would put my, you know, eldest aunt and my father in a taxi, and they have to go up to Mount St. Benedict and meet the pastor there, get a prayers, and then come home back because school going to start soon, right? And they were Muslims. They grew up Muslims. They did everything Muslim, right? But because, you know, you believe and you understand that we need to respect each other's belief and each other's, you know, understanding of things, that is what makes Trinidad unique.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I always tell people that Trinidad is the only place in the world that you would find a masjid and a temple in Cuba next to one another, and they cooperate so peacefully.
Yeah.
Right. In Tacarigua, the masjid across the road, the masjid has a church, and they cooperate so peacefully also. It is one of the only places in the world that we have that understanding. And I do pray and hope that that continues. I think it was about a week and a half ago. For the holiday, for the public holiday recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lady called me the week before and said, you know, sir, I need to do a prayers for my aunt. She was a Muslim. She died and I would like to do a prayers for her,
mm-hmm.
right? But I am not a Muslim. I am a Hindu. So I tried to explain to her that, look, you know, it would be better if you do it after Ramadan, because, you know, during Ramadan you're fasting and all these things, right? But you could have heard, you know, the disappointment in her voice. And I went through with it. I went and I did the prayers. And they were so wonderful, all right? The gathering that I was in, there were no Muslims in it. All right. But it was such a wonderful experience. You know, I literally thanked them for and told them I'm humbled to be a part of this program today, because I feel, you know, so wonderful that I could respect your faith and you could respect my faith, mm-hmm. and we could live peacefully.
Yeah. And we have classic examples of how harmoniously we coexist. At one point in time, the three major faiths had very significant things going on.
Yes.
You had Lent.
Yes, this was Lent season.
You had Noratam.
Yes,
and you had Ramadan.
And you have Ramadan. All three faiths
at the same time.
Was fasting at the same time. Right?
My career in the media, I started when I was 18.
Okay.
Apart from my family exposing me to the various things, working in the media, in Indian radio, in East Indian radio,
radio,
allowed me as well to look and to admire the various virtues. From the different faiths, because we were involved in everything. And back then, in another place, when you have to prepare for music programs, and it is a challenge. and it's a challenge
to get the correct songs.
Exactly.
And so on.
Yes. Because you need to know exactly what you can. What, there are songs you can play for Ramadan.
For Ramadan.
That you cannot play for Eid.
No.
And that's a
challenge.
It's something that's lost on the younger ones in the media.
Yes.
They don't understand these
what
things.
What has been sung.
And I, in not wanting to offend, you know, inadvertently, there was a co-worker of mine called, his name was Tabshir Budu.
Okay.
I was a touch after, you know, so many years and everything.
Yeah,
but I went to Tabshir and I say, hey, listen, here now, how to do this thing in morning and a little guidance.
What to play.
Yeah. And he helped.
Right.
And I came across an offering called Allahu.
Yeah.
The name is Kari Wahid Zafar Kasmi.
Yes, yes, yes.
It is one of the most soul-touching songs.
Yes, yeah.
that you can find.
Yeah.
And every Eid that I had to be on the air,
right,
I will make it a point to
play that
this
song, right?
And you don't need to be Muslim or to appreciate.
Feeling. Yes, to get the feeling.
And I'll tell people this, I have a CD with Islamic songs.
All right.
Sometimes on a morning when you're feeling...
You feel different, yes.
You just put it on.
Yes,
and you appreciate it.
Look, when we started off our program, we recently started our program on 106, 1.1. And Mr. Uta, who has been assisting us, he said, you know, the songs that I have been getting for him, right? Remember, I will be able to understand what the song is saying, whether it be Urdu, whether it be Arabic. I mean, we all understand English, right?
Right.
So he said, you know, this is the first time, you know, he's enjoying the song so much. It's like, you know, you're hearing a whole new set of songs that, you know, it's so wonderful. I felt really nice to understand that.
Yeah, and that... The understanding, I think, goes a long way in the appreciation.
Yes, yeah.
There is a song that is played usually when someone dies.
Yeah.
I was by Pradeep. And we had, when we were at that format, a version that was explained by an Islamic scholar.
Okay, okay.
Where they would play a part of it, he would explain it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that goes down so well.
Yeah.
Let's focus on... what's to come tomorrow,
inshallah.
The holy month of Ramadan is coming to an end.
Yes,
we'll get to the issues about whether it should have been today or tomorrow a little later on, but let's explain for people what happens, what does the Muslim go through when the month of Ramadan starts in preparation for the observance of Eid.
So Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, and it starts when the moon is sighted, and it is also completed when the moon is sighted. There are, you know, verses in Quran that tells us that the fasting has been prescribed for you as it has been prescribed for those before you. And the objective is there also, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you gain God consciousness. And the objective of it all is that now when we, you know, sometimes, you know, our companies and our businesses and the places we work, they would send us on training courses. That we go to this training course and we acquire tools, we acquire skills, so that when we come back now, we are able to fulfill our duties in a manner that is better than what we started off at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is the whole objective of a training course. So Ramadan is like a training course for the Muslim. That throughout this month, we will find ourselves more. We will find ourselves remembering Allah more. We will find ourselves doing more charity. We will find ourselves visiting the masjid more often than we would have, you know, outside of Ramadan. And also, you would find where Muslims, they would now abstain from doing wrong things easier, right? Like, for example, you're going down the road and a man give you a bad drive. You don't want to, you know... tell him anything because you would say, boy, I'm fasting, so I'm going to behave myself, right? Or you would find yourself, you know, you could end up in a heated argument, but you will not go down the argument because you respect your fasting. So you say, I'm not going to fast. I'm not going to get into this argument. That isn't useful to me. It's not benefiting me here nor there. So I'm fasting, I just stay out of it, right? You would not get into, you know, frivolous backbiting. You would be able to easier abstain from doing wrong things, right? So you do more good things and you abstain from doing wrong things. Now, with that now, what is the whole objective is that when we come out of Ramadan now, we should be able to use these tools that we would have gained throughout the month. I mean, now, you know, during the month of Ramadan, we would spend, you know, average an hour after the late night prayer praying, right, reading Taraweeh Salah. So now, yes, I agree, we will not read 20 rakats, 20 units again after Ramadan, but we can still now pray a little bit more than we would have. Well, yes, we'll pray a little less, but not as much, and we can still do good things. All right, we have gained, you know, yes, I should give some charity. I should abstain from backbiting. I shouldn't get in, you know, arguments that is of no use. Right? So you gain these tools and skills throughout the month of Ramadan for us to be able to rally the next 11 months so that we do not, you know, end up in a place where we were before Ramadan, but instead we should be moving closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming a better Muslim, a more well-rounded Muslim. Like, for example, you know, there's an ayat at the end of one of the chapters of Quran. I can't remember the number of the chapter, mm-hmm. but it translates that where, and the servants of Rahman, they walk upon the face of the earth with humility. Now you will find a Muslim doing that during the month of Ramadan, being humble, and it's easy to deal with them and everything, right? And when they speak, and the ayat continues, and when they speak to people, they do not speak to those who are ignorant. They say assalamu alaikum. So in other words, it means that you do not get into arguments with people, that it is useless, right? So these tools and skills that we are to gain throughout the month of Ramadan, the objective is, and the whole idea is, that we use these tools now after the month of Ramadan to help elevate ourselves in spirituality and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What are some of the events that take place? Because we know that there's a lot of activity.
Yes.
There's a lot of activity during the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
What are some of those activities that take
place?
Well,
for the first 20 days, more or less, you go about doing your own worship, and every day you do things. Mm-hmm. Then in the last 10 days, in the odd nights of the last 10 days, there is this time where you have, you know, you call it Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, where you'll find in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this one night, if we were to find ourselves worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that night, the benefit of it is that we will get the reward of 83 years and 4 months of blessings. 1,000 months of blessings, right? In one night you can acquire that. Now, you may ask, you know, well, why don't you know the specific date of the of that night of Qadr or that night of power? Right? Well, the beauty is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to tell the gathering that was outside of his doors the date and the time that the night of power occurs. And when he came out, listen to this, when he came out to inform us, there were two people who were arguing with each other. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away the knowledge from me because these two people were arguing. So that is one point, you know, that needs to be understood, that a great blessing like that was taken away because two Muslims were arguing with each other, right? Mm-hmm. And this night of Laylatul Qadr, we will find that, you know, Muslims, they would go to the masjid, they would try to spend the whole night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would read Quran, they would make zikr, you know, they would try to do more than on that night, because, you know, you're searching for this. I mean, not all of us reach the age 83 sometime, mm-hmm. right? You die long before sometimes. So you want to gain this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is advised that we look for it on the odd nights of the last 10 days, 21, 23, 25, 27, and 29, right? So, but most people tend to, you know, because there are more narrations, that the 27th night is probably the better night to do it. Then, you know, you get, you know, more surety on that night that it could be. But it is still advised that we look on the all of the odd nights, right? Then, you know, what happens, you know, masjids, every evening, you know, at the time to break fast, most masjids, they tend to have, you know, a small function, mm-hmm. where, you know, the imam or some other maulana or so, or people in the community, they would give, you know, advices, they would give short sermons, they will recite Quran together, they would make zikr together, remembrance of Allah together, and then, you know, at the time of breaking fast, a few minutes before, they would make, you know, supplication, they would make duas and so on, and then break the fast. So these are, you know, some of the things that happens in the evening time. And then in the night you have the Taraweeh prayer, right, which is an average of 20 rakats that, you know, you're supposed to read. You know, some people who are of the opinion you read less, all right, but the normal amount is 20 rakats that you read in the nights after the late prayer.
Mm. There's a lot. And I know that if more people open their minds,
yes,
and take the opportunity to approach everyone's faith with an empty cup.
Yes, and an open mind. That is the biggest word there, I believe.
You learn so much more.
Yes.
In my time at CNC3, I would have on occasion
right.
to work for Eid. I actually loved working the holidays
right.
because you get to do these things that you don't do all the time.
All the time, agreed.
And
yes.
I remember there's a cameraman, very young guy at the point.
Yeah.
He had just started.
Okay.
And we went to a mosque. I can't remember which mosque
all
it
right,
was.
All right.
To cover the salah that morning.
That morning, yeah. yeah.
And he's Christian. He right. never went to something
to
like this. He had in
yeah.
his mind these preconceived biases because of what he heard.
Yeah, grew up with.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, there's this. And I told him, I said, listen to me. Go and see what's going on here first and then form your own opinion.
Then form your own opinion.
So we went and we approached it as a part of our job.
Job, yes.
And we went there and he saw for himself how joyous it was, how
right.
welcoming it was,
right,
how
right.
interesting
it was. Yeah.
And when we were leaving, he couldn't stop talking about how great an experience
he
was for
it,
him.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, it's sad. Eh? There are those who choose to divide us as opposed to unite us. You can't get away from that in any society.
Yeah, you always get those kind of people in society.
And just another, before I speak to you about what's going on for Eid itself, I had the opportunity as well during my time in television to cover Eid observances at the Jamaat al-Muslimin.
All right, yeah.
And that was in 2006, 2007 at the time, when you had a lot of things happening across there.
Yes.
With the Jamaat al-Muslimin.
Yes, yes.
Nobody wanted to go. I take the camera and say, I go in.
Right.
Because, and it was an experience that you had to be there to understand the devotion.
I met Mr. Abu Bakr, you know, Imam Yasin Abu Bakr. I met him once in my life, right? And honestly, the person himself, it was such a wonderful experience. I probably said one sentence or two sentences to me. We were at the Jama Masjid in Queen Street right here.
Right.
And, you know, he asked how I'm going, I'm fine, you know, and that was all it said. But it was such wonderful, it was such a respectable, wonderful person to meet then. All right, so I can understand what you're saying.
You see, because of things that have happened publicly, there are people who have formed opinions. You can't take that away from people.
People went through certain things.
Right, is that how you love him? You hate him? Or whatever. That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
But going to the Jamaat was a culture shock for me.
Okay.
Now you're coming from an Indian background.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're going into a community where you don't necessarily have Indians. You have African Muslim brothers and sisters there.
Yeah.
And when everything was over, you know, people come, they bring their food and the this and that and the next and the other. And I saw them. But when they started, you see anything like macaroni pie
and fried chicken.
And I was like,
everything,
yeah, but that's not what you're accustomed to.
See,
when I would go to my family, you're seeing your routine, your curry, goat and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show that there are so many different nuances within the same faith.
Yes.
And the Islamic faith is unique in that you have that variance.
Yes, it's quite, you know, when you know, you sometimes look at what people do for Eid Day in different communities, in different countries, in different cultures, you'd be so amazed that, you know, this could also take place on that day then, you know? Look, when we were growing up, Eid al-Fitr, you go to the masjid, you read namaz, you come home back, right? And then at home now, you drink sawain and all these things, right? But then, you know, after some time, you know, you see different masjids, well, we go share some sawain today. Oh, then after that, you see them make chicken and chips, right? You know, and then you start to get a whole different socializing atmosphere on that day itself, that people, you know, would flock to these, you know, masjids where, you know, such things are taking place, right? Now it has grown to such a big celebration. You have doubles, you have snow cone, right? You have a whole meal, you have Bongsi Castle. It is, you know, has grown to such a wonderful, enjoying time then, right?
We need to get to take a break to head up to the news, but we continue our discussion a bit after that. We'll probably open the phone lines for persons who would want to get involved in the conversation.
Sure.
What I want to get from you when we get back, obviously deal with what happens on the day of Eid.
Okay.
And then speak about some of the other observances. Eid al-Adha is coming
this time,
up later
a few months,
on.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you a specific question. When it comes to finding their place and acceptance in society in Trinidad and Tobago, how do you think the Islamic community has done? And we'll build on that when we get back after the 8 o'clock news right here. Our special guest, Maulana Riaz Shah, on this edition of The Morning Rumble.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
The final hour of our show here this morning. Continuing our discussion with our special guest, that's Maulana Riaz Shah. We're discussing Eid Islam and a lot of what's related therein. Feel free to join the conversation if you'd like to. Give us a call on 627-3223, 625-2257. Your WhatsApp messages, feel free to send those to 3061065. Before we went to the break for the news, I was asking you about your opinion. And the Islamic community makes up a percentage of who we are.
Though it might be small, but it's still a percentage.
Yeah, it's still a percentage, and they're very well respected. Yeah. The opinion of the Islamic community is very much valued in what we do as a nation.
Mm.
Do you think the Islamic community has achieved its full potential?
As any community, there is always room for improvement and room for growth. All right. When you look at, you know, the efforts that Islam would have done, and Muslims, sorry, would have done in Trinidad and Tobago from years gone by, right, together with Dr. Eric Williams, you had, you know, Tajmul Hussein, right, who was, you know, one of those pioneers in, you know, shaping the country and the governance of the country back in the day, right? He may not have been as big as some of the other, you know, people who were there, but he was also part of it. Then come the Trinidad was the first country in the Western Hemisphere to have a Muslim as a president, President Noor Hassan Ali. You know, when the president for Guyana came through as a Muslim, people say, well, he's the first president in this Western world to be the Muslim, a Muslim president. I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad had a Muslim first. Since the 1980s, you know, we had a Muslim as a president, President Noor Hassan Ali, right? Then we had, you know, people like Kamal Chach, right, Kamaluddin Mohammed, Sham Mohammed, right? And there were so many other Muslims who were out there back in the day doing so much, right? What has happened, you know, over the last few years, Muslims have, taken themselves away from politics and governance. A lot of Muslims, you know, they frown when you say you're going in politics then, right? Why? I am not sure.
That's not just Islam, you know, that's across many sectors.
Many sectors of religion, right? But I believe if, you know, you believe that you can do something, all right, there's nothing wrong in going into politics to do something to make a change for your country and your society and your community, right? And that is the place to do it, right? Yeah. That is where, you know, when the laws are made and the legislations take place, right? So up to now, yes, you know, Islam, Muslims in this country has been doing a lot. I mean, what happened, you know, in 1990, you know, is a whole story by itself. But Muslims in this country, by and large, There is room for improvement, and, you know, there is places where Muslims work towards building society.
Yeah.
Right?
President Irfan out in Guyana, I don't know if I'm correct in describing him as a progressive leader.
Yes.
But he does not necessarily operate within the confines, the strict rigors.
No.
He doesn't.
You know, that is what I believe, that being a Muslim, I mean, you're not living in a Islamic state where, you know, Islam governs the daily laws of the country then, right? We are living in a country that is, as we started off, that is multicultural, multi-religious, and it is a magnitude of people that is of all different walks of life, right? So you need to, have a little softer shoulder, all right, to be able to deal with people in your society, all right? Now, your name is Satish Mahavir, my name is Riaz Shah, all right? Why I coming to meet you for? No, all right? Why should I have a problem to come to meet you, all right? You have no disrespect for me, I have no disrespect to you, all right? This is probably the first time I'm meeting you, all right? So why should I formulate in my mind an ill thought and make myself into this, you know, impregnable structure that nobody could get into, right? I believe that, you know, yes, I'm a Muslim and I work within my, you know, parameters, all right? And you are whatever walk of life you're from, you know, you work within your parameters, but we could work with each other too.
That's such an important element of us coexisting.
Yes.
I've had the opportunity to speak to Sat Maharaj, and he was as vocal as you could get yes. about Hinduism. Yeah, I've also had the opportunity to sit and speak to Yaqub Ali,
right?
And he was as well a real defender and promoter of Islam.
Yes,
led Asja for many years,
many years,
and others in different spheres as well. Mm. I've had the opportunity to speak to them, but here's what's concerning to me: even though they were so vocal and vociferous in their promotion and defense of their own faith,
beliefs, yeah,
there was a level of respect that they
to
had
everybody else.
For others that
yes.
that I think right. is being whittled away in society
yes.
today.
And that is sad, right? That you would find in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? In the Prophet upon whom be peace. And this is one story, you know, when I heard it, you know, it really, you know, drove it home to me then. When he had started to, you know, to preach Islam back in the day, when he now started off, you know, it was really hard for him. People, you remember, you know, he's speaking to a community that was knows nothing about Islam, right? And all of his uncles were the big chiefs and everything, okay? So, and they opposed him, all right? How you could now tell us we have to believe in Islam, all right? What are you talking about, right? So it was really hard for him. And one day he was, you know, going down the road, as you would say, and there was this elderly lady. She had all of her luggage with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked her, you know, well, as you would say, auntie, you know, tante, you know, do you need some help? And she said, yes, I want, you know, I need somebody to help me carry these bags and baggages out of here. Things in this, you know, city has gone bad. Imagine they're talking about Islam and they want me to believe in one Allah and one God and all these kind of things. I leave and I can't take that. And he took up the bags. Now he's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Mm-hmm.
And he took up all the bags, and going down the road, she was advising him, you know, son, you're a real nice person, you know, right? You're a real nice person. Don't believe in this man they call Muhammad, eh? Because he real bad. He talking all of God's bad, and she real, you know, bad talk Muhammad. Right? So when she reached where she was going, put on the bags, and, you know, set it up for her and everything, and she says, son, let me ask you your name now. You're really nice. I really appreciate what you do for me and everything. So then he said, my name is Muhammad. Right? I am Muhammad. That, if it was me, right? And I was helping this lady and she was bad talking me, I might not have quarreled with her, but I would have put down she bag and say, no, excuse me. We would not have gone down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But here it is, you're finding that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the leader of Islam, the one, you know, who is teaching us Islam, he had a soft shoulder for this lady. Understand what I'm saying, right? He did not, you know, oppose her. He didn't say, well, what are you saying now? How you can say that about me? No, right? So I, you know, do not understand in today's society, why is it that, you know, I should be such a hard person to work with everybody, right? I believe that, you know, we should be able to, as you use the word, coexist and be able to work with each other. Yes, I respect your faith, you respect my faith, and we don't have to, you know, have a problem with that, right? But as human beings, as society, we can work together and live together and drink some wine together.
I've said many times that I believe that our diversity, along so many lines, cultural, religious, ethnic, it's both a blessing and a curse.
Well, yes.
Because it gives us the opportunity to do things that other societies can't.
Can't, yeah.
And then it some people take advantage of those differences for their own selfish means.
Yes,
but you can't get away from that.
From
you'll
that,
always
it is
have,
a will of people.
Yeah, you will always have persons doing that.
Mm.
On the day of Eid, what are the tenets? What does a Muslim do on that day?
Eid morning, all right. Well, Eid itself starts from the night before. When the moon is sighted in Islam, the night comes before the day, right? So that is why you would find, you know, we have to look for the moon in the evening. And then from the night itself, you know, after the late prayer, you have, you know, Tarawih and so on, right? So in Islam, the night comes before the day. So from the moment you see the moon, Eid night starts. There now, in that night, in the narrations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you would find where on that night, Yes, we have to iron the clothes, you have to patch the sawai, and you have to do all these things, agreed. But also it is a night of acceptance. It is called Laylatul Jaza, the night of awards, the night of rewards. Because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that look, this whole month that went by, all of my servants, they worked so hard. They fasted by day, they read Quran, they read Taraweeh at night. They did all of these good things and they abstained from doing so many wrong things. Tonight they are awarded. Right? So the night, it is still a night that we make supplication to Allah, we beg Allah, we pray and so on. Right? Now in the morning time, when we get up, we pray our morning prayer, Fajr Salah, and then we prepare ourselves to go to Masjid. It is recommended that we put on, you know, the best clothes that we have, not necessarily newest, but the best clothes you have. I mean, normally you go shopping during the month of Ramadan to buy the best you could and so on, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you put on the best clothes you have, you wear the sweetest perfumes you have. You eat something sweet also before you go to Masjid, right? That is things that, you know, we do before we go to Masjid. When we go to Masjid now, the Imam will guide us on how to read Eid Salah. And if you permit me, I'd like to, you know, mention sure. how you read the Eid Salah. Well, when we reach there, you know, the Imam would mention to us that you make the intention of reading Eid Namaz following the Imam with its extra takbirs. Right? This is where now, you know, normally when you start Namaz, you say Allahu Akbar and you read the Thana and so on, and then you have three extra takbirs that is made by the Imam, and we follow that. Right? Then, you know, the Imam, he would do all of the recitations he has to do. He would go down and read up the whole Namaz. And then at the end of the second rakat, the second unit, he will also read three extra takbirs again and then complete the Namaz. Right? Mm. So this is the way. And then after Namaz, now you have the sermon that he would deliver. And then after that, you know, you have all of the celebrations that normally will take place at the Masjid today. You drink sawain, you eat food, you have snow cone, you have doubles and so on. And then you normally have where people will entertain, you know, their friends and families and neighbors and so on. Right? I remember whilst I was in India, one of my friends, he took me to his village out in Bir, that is in Maharashtra. And he said, today is Eid, we have to go by all these people to drink sawain. I said, well, you're not going to eat food by the people too? He said, no, we have to go by so much of people, so you're just drinking sawain. So when I went to give him a small bowl of sawain, right? I said, but I could drink more than that. Why you give me so? He said, no, you have to go by so much people to drink this sawain. So you're drinking a little bit by everybody. So when you go by everybody, you could still drink some, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is a time of enjoyment. It's a time of celebrating, right? It is a time that, you know, you spread peace and love and enjoyment to everybody, right? There are not any instance where you would find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like he was speaking about, would have, you know, outrightly opposed someone who was not a believer. Right? Because, you know, he didn't, if the person, you know, was not attacking and so on, that is something else, right? But to say, you know, you just get up and decide you're going to oppose some, you know, attack somebody, no, that is no space in Islam. It is a Islam, you know, I remember one time, when I was traveling, I was in Manchester Airport. And, well, you know, they check in your bags, they're putting you down, talking to you and so on. So he said, the person, the customs officer who was talking to me, he said, you know, so what is your view of Islam? I said, well, Islam in itself means peace, all right? And you have not done anything to me and I haven't done anything to you. It's the first time we're meeting, all right? So why should I, you know, develop and have a bad opinion about you and wish to harm you, all right? So he said, you know, that he really liked it because that is not something he have ever heard, right? He always, as he was mentioning before, you know, that, you know, it's all radical and terrorist and all this kind of thing. And that is what Islam is about, that we create spaces of peace. And Islam will flourish. You would flourish as a person also. You know, it's easier to be nice than to be a hard person to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're coming close to the end of our interview. And it's been a pretty interesting discussion.
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Also.
We've gone all over.
All over the place.
We've discussed so many different things. Yes. And the information, it's welcome. Because it comes on the cusp of what is a very significant time for the Islamic community.
Yeah, yeah.
Eid is very important to them.
To them, yeah.
And on the national landscape, we have three things that are in tandem with the Islamic faith. One, a little bit controversial, but the other two, we have
Eid al-Fitr,
the usual one.
Yeah.
And then we have Eid al-Adha, which is
about 2.5 months from now.
That's a bit different from what's tomorrow.
Yes, right.
Tell us about Eid al-Adha.
Eid al-Adha is where you commemorate the memory of Father Abraham, upon whom be peace, right? Where he had to sacrifice his son Ismail, right? And when he was about to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salam, upon whom be peace, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an animal for him to sacrifice, right? So in commemoration of that, you know, an animal is sacrificed on that day also. And the objective of it, we believe, you understand in narrations that the objective of making that sacrifice is that we are sacrificing our love and desire for this worldly life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As a Muslim, our whole objective, and as a human being, our objective is that we are not here forever. We have to leave here one day and ultimately go into the hereafter. Right?
Yeah.
So the purpose and the reason that we do that sacrifice is that we are now sacrificing our love for this worldly life and putting it away. Right? Then that is also the time where Muslims will go and perform the pilgrimage to Mecca and perform the Hajj.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you would go to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina and so on. Right, so that is the whole idea of Eid al-Adha.
And the other one, the other event that we have here at home is Jose.
Jose, yes.
No, Jose. It. I know that there are
controversial ideas behind it. But what it is that really it's supposed to commemorate. What is the idea behind it? Was where, the death of the Prophet ﷺ occurred, right? That is the 10th of Muharram, right? But the 10th of Muharram, is the first month of the Islamic calendar, and 10th is the 10th day of the month, right? So it is that a lot of things occurred on that day, and there is that sect of, Muslims who, and people who say, well, we want to commemorate, that more than,
mm-hmm.
all right? Yes, as normal, Muslims, we also feel hurt that the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ died and so on that day, and all of those things. But, you don't go down and do it as they do it then.
Yeah, right? I know that there are varying
sects and so on. Yeah.
And because I was involved in it.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, because I know it's about Ashura and you have Sunnis and Shiites.
And in other parts
of the world, they inflict themselves. And it's a big deal.
Yeah.
To the point where even children
die.
Yeah, and even children are forced,
cut themselves
as part of their belief.
Mm.
And you don't take it away from people.
No.
My time with Jose in St. James was interesting.
Okay.
Because I had not joined the media yet.
All right.
I got involved.
Yeah, right.
Because the TASA sign that I was we would go down.
Right.
We know everybody from Ghulam Hussein and Riaz and all the other yards.
People are there,
But it was interesting for me to see, aside and apart from the issues that I didn't get involved in.
Right.
I was not part of the field.
Right.
I was part of the...
The TASA.
Right.
Yes.
I would see the love and devotion, regardless of what people thought of it, for 40 days, these gentlemen would devote their life
because
to this thing, because of their faith.
Because
of what they believed in, whether you agree with it
or not. That is your choice,
And I saw firsthand how important it was to them.
Right. But that is it, right? As we were saying, a person have their belief and their rights, and I have my belief and my rights, you have your belief and your rights, right? So I should respect you also.
Mm-hmm.
We are, citizens of this country together, we are human beings together and everything, right? So yes, I may not, do what you do, and you may not do what I do, and we may not agree on that also,
mm-hmm.
right? But it doesn't mean we have to be at loggerheads all the time.
I don't know, is Jose observed the way we do it here anywhere else in the world?
Yeah, there are, you know, instances where they take out the tajdas and they have, you know, all of those things taking place also, mm-hmm. right? And as you also mentioned, you know, there are places where they, you know, they inflict themselves and so on, right? Now, to the reason, you know, as my, you know, where I believe in, mm-hmm. right? We do not, you're not supposed to inflict yourself unnecessarily.
Right.
Right. So that is why we do not do
that. I understand.
So, you know, everybody have their right and they have their beliefs, right? And we should respect each other.
As we wrap our discussion here this morning, to the Islamic community, tomorrow is a very important day for them. To the non-Islamic community, who would be looking on at what takes place tomorrow? And there are people who would want to engage themselves, and that's not necessarily the easiest of things to do.
Right.
But what are some of the things that the country, as one unified group, some of the lessons that Eid should resonate with all of us?
I would think the main lesson that we should take out of Eid is the ability to unify, the ability to work together. All right, everybody could pray together. Whether, you know, you are rich, you are poor, there is, you know, this poem, you know, Ek hi saf me kare Mahmood o Ayaz, right? The name Mahmood and the name Ayaz. One was the king and one was a criminal, right? And they both have to stand up in the same line to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all right? So the ability to unify and get united is the biggest lesson of the day of Eid to me.
Yeah.
Right. That no matter which walk of life you're from, no matter what is your status or not in society, all right, you can unify. Then after Eid Namaz, when you go home, all right, you would find where in a Muslim home, you have your brothers and your sisters who are Muslims, all right, and then you have your neighbors, and in your own family, as we started off, you know, you have a pot of pilau where you have all different sorts of religion in that family, and everybody could sit down together and eat a food together and drink some wine together and talk and laugh, right? Why do we need to have this problem where we have to fight and be disgruntled with each other all the time?
I that message resonates with me so much, and I'll tell you why. My mother, I had a friend that lived in Tacarigua. They grew up together,
right?
And her friend was Hindu, and she married into a Muslim family.
Okay.
But what was unique with them is that they would observe Eid
and they would
observe Diwali.
And
we would be by them. And
you go,
it was normal.
Everybody working together.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody doing the things.
Diwali time, they fast for Diwali, they lighten the diya. When it's Eid time, they're doing Ramadan.
And everything, right? So, you know, why do we need to be at loggerheads and, you know, you is this and I is that and we can't? No. Let us work together. There will be more peace. And the country would be back where it should be, where my mother and, you know, grandmother, and I'm sure you would also notice that, you know, long time I could have leave my children and the neighbor would look after them when I go on and do what I had to do, right? Where, you know, that community brought up a child in, where the community looked out for each other, right? That is, you know, something we have lost. And when we lost that, everything fell down after that.
Yeah. Maulana, I want to thank you so much, Riyasha, for being with us here this morning. It was a most enlightening discussion.
Alhamdulillah. I myself must say, you know, I really did enjoy, you know, being in this program this morning and meeting you, right? Because every morning you hear, I am Satish Mahabir, I'm reporting to the news.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's wonderful to meet you also, you know, and I do appreciate the opportunity to be here.
And I do hope that throughout our discussion, some element of it resonates with your listeners, and I think as our guest was saying, acceptance, and trying to get a greater understanding of each other can go a long way in addressing some of our problems.
A lot of it, yes.
Well, I guess this is where I should say, is it correct to say Ramadan?
Eid Mubarak.
Mubarak already?
Yes, no problem. Early Eid Mubarak to everybody,
to you and to the entire Islamic community.
Inshallah.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.